Good morning. Thank you for coming. I'd like to thank the moderators for putting this together. And today, I'll be happy to present to you results of the work we did on impact of systemic insecticides on the community of arthropods in urban forest. So the story began with an invasive beetle in New York, and the story would not be nearly as fun to tell you if it wasn't for that beetle, which is one good thing that maybe came out of it for me. Asian longhorn beetle was first detected in Brooklyn in 96, and it so happens that one of the favorite plants of this bug are elm trees. And in an effort to save the last great stand of elms in American elms in New York City, thousands of trees have been treated with imidacloprid since 2001. In an unforeseen turn of events, we had a problem. We had bare elm trees in Central Park that dropped leaves because of huge explosions of spider mite after applications of imidacloprid. I guess I can't do this. So we could not pass up this opportunity to figure out what's going on with the imidacloprid on the elm trees, and we set out to do a couple of things. We wanted to determine if imidacloprid affects and how it affects the general community of arthropods, and we wanted to document the spider mite outbreaks on elms. And we did this in Central Park and replicate site in College Park. And additionally, because of James and Price publishing an interesting paper on the effects of imidacloprid on spider mite fecundity, we wanted to examine if imidacloprid has an effect on how many eggs the spider mites lay and how that could translate into spider mite outbreaks. I don't think I need to introduce imidacloprid to this audience very thoroughly, so I'll just mention generally it was the first neonicotinoid developed, and it was it's similar in structure to nicotine with a few very key changes that make it a very good pesticide. And imidacloprid does make a very good first impression and has reduced environmental impact, very nice and easy to apply, and very safe to mammals, has incredibly long residual activity, and is highly efficacious against target pests. So the culprit, Tetranychus shawnii, the elm spider mite, and the spelling of the name of this little critter, which is spelled gazillion different ways, actually, is not the least of the issues that we had working with this mite. So first, I'll tell you what we did in terms of determining the impact of imidacloprid on arthropod community and spider mite abundance. To do this, we surveyed elm trees in two sites, in Central Park, New York, and College Park, Maryland, right off of campus, University of Maryland. We did this from 2005 to 2007. We applied, well, not only we, but imidacloprid was applied to elm trees at label rate as soil drench and injection and trunk injection. Our design was completely randomized block design with 10 replicates, and we sampled excised foliage, and we brought it back to the lab, and we compared arthropod communities on between treatments. To analyze our data, we used principal response curve, which is a multivariate test based on redundancy analysis, and we used this test to study overall community response on the trees. And to compare spider mite abundance, we used repeated measures ANOVA. So results, the effect of imidacloprid on community of arthropods. This complicated graph is for our results from Central Park. Let me walk you through this. This is principal response curve for our data. The x-axis has time plotted for three different sampling years. In these graphs, control is plotted as at zero. It serves as a comparison for the sampled community, and then the canonical coefficients for the sampled community is what you see right here. And as you can see, we had significantly higher abundance of arthropods for all 3 years on our treated elms as compared to untreated elms. One other important thing that PRC gives us are species scores, which is how individual taxa that we sampled fit the curve. The significant species scores for taxa significant species scores are greater than absolute value of 0.5. So I've put little rectangles around the significant ones, and the positive species scores indicate that this taxa fits very well the curve as you see it on the principal response right here. So our tetranychids did exactly what you see on the principal response curve. They increased on the treated elms, whereas the negative species scores did the opposite. So if I were to draw a mirror image through the control line here of this graph, this is what the tideids would do. So tideids decrease and the mites increase, basically. One important thing that I need you to notice here, the coccinellates right here, chrysopids, phytoceids, they didn't have significant species scores. That means they did not contribute to the curve as you see here. And very similar results at Maryland. For all three sampling years, we had significantly greater abundance of arthropods. And we had a few more taxa that contributed significantly to the curves. So tetranychids and Diptylomyidae, those are the areophyid mites, they increased on our treated trees, whereas tideids and areococcids, that's the scale, they decreased. The effects of monoclopid on abundance, this is Central Park. Again, we wanted to finally document the outbreaks, really. Again, on the x-axis is time and three sampling dates, and abundance of spider mites per centimeter square is plotted on the y-axis. As you can see, the monoclopid is a gray bar. As you can see, in every season, at the end of the season, we had significantly greater abundance of mites on the treated trees, and that's really quite pronounced some years. Very similar at Maryland. Again, by the end of the season, we've seen consistently higher numbers of spider mites on treated elms. Just to sum this up, because it's a lot of information, in Central Park, the arthropod community, the arthropod abundance on treated elms was significantly higher than on untreated elms, and the significant species scores were for spider mites, which increased on the treated trees, and tideid mites, which decreased on the treated trees. Those are the only two taxa that I found significant for that site. And spider mite abundance was significantly higher across all sampling years on treated trees. Similar at Maryland, again, abundance was significantly greater on treated elms than untreated. The significant species scores were for spider mites and areophyid mites, which increased on treated elms, and scale insects and tideid mites decreased on the treated elms. And spider mite abundance was significantly higher when we treated the elms. So to quickly just summarize this part of experiment, imidacloprid applications had a strong and significant effect on the abundance of elm mites at both sampling sites and across all three sampling years. The mite outbreaks could not be explained by an elimination of a key spider mite predator from the ecosystem. And the arthropod community, let's face it, it was basically driven by what the mites did on the plant. Just to keep in mind the second point I made here, that we could not pinpoint this outbreak problem, single natural enemy, we moved on to the second objective, examining if imidacloprid affects spider mite fecundity. And to do study this, we actually did two separate experiments. First one was plant-mediated effect. In this experiment, we applied imidacloprid at label rate, and we had 8 replicates, completely randomized design. And we exposed individual mated females to excised elm trees, either treated with imidacloprid or untreated, and we followed their fecundity until death. In the second experiment, I took the plant effect out of the picture. We applied imidacloprid topically to the mites and repeated it 30 times and did the same basically. Recorded the number of eggs until their death. And this is my little experimental setup. We had a leaf with in the bigger petri plate, covered up the mite with a small plate and held it down with binder clips. It was actually kind of tricky to get these mites to do what we wanted to do and stay alive. So the results for fecundity. When we exposed mites to trees that were treated with imidacloprid, we saw significantly greater fecundity for the mice that fed on treated leaves. The longevity, there was no difference in how long they lived, however. When I took the plant out of the picture, I did not see the significance in fecundity. The mites did not lay more eggs when they were sprayed with imidacloprid and then allowed to feed on untreated leaves. So what I learned from this basically is when I treat the plant with imidacloprid and offer that plant to the mite, I get more eggs. When I take the plant out of the picture, when I apply the imidacloprid directly to the mite, nothing happens. And regardless of how we apply the imidacloprid, whether the imidacloprid is applied to the plant or to the mite, there's no effect on longevity, on how long the mite lives. So what I learned, it does not appear to be the natural enemies that we could actually pinpoint the outbreaks on. My lab mate Scott did some very exciting experiments with natural enemies in the lab, and he does see some negative effects on the natural enemies in lab experiments where they have no choice but to feed on prey that's exposed to imidacloprid. But in the field, it does not appear to be so. And it's not the direct stimulation of reproduction, because when I take the plant out of the picture, I did not see stimulation of reproduction. But it seems to be a plant-mediated effect. And I will be talking more on that part tomorrow at 9:50 in student competition talk. And with that, we'd like to thank our funding agency and everybody who helped with analysis and the hard work of raising and keeping mites alive. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes.
Did you do any work looking at drenches? And then looking at what kind of effect on
the
you have?
On the question is, have I looked at drenches? You mean the?
Yeah, could you just topically spray?
Yes, so the first experiment I did was actually with drench application to the leaves. So this is imidacloprid applied as a soil drench to plants, and then I fed the leaves from those plants to my mites. This experiment is flowable formulation of imidacloprid sprayed directly to the mites with a spray tower. So I see the effect with this, yes, through the plant, through the soil drench application. Yes?
So you found higher female fecundity in the imidacloprid-treated spray mites, that were exposed to treated leaves. But did that really translate into higher fitness still? I mean, was it possibly the progeny maybe were less fit, or maybe higher egg mortality later?
So the question is, if I saw increased fecundity, did I also see increased fitness? We did not look at the parameter. The longevity, you know, it didn't really differ, but I didn't follow my, hatched eggs. I did not look at how well they did on those plants, so no.
Thank you, Adriana.
Thank you.